Hello and welcome to the Student Ministry Podcast of Cedar Crest Bible Fellowship Church. I am Pastor Jules, and I'm excited that you have decided to join us here. The teaching or conversation you are about to hear is from our youth group ministry. I hope that you will find it encouraging. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, please visit our website at cedarcrest.church/students. Well, we have come to the end of our study of John chapter 8. We have been looking at this chapter for the last 4 weeks, and it's been a good, great week, great few weeks studying this chapter and examining Jesus' dialogue with these Jews. Last week, we talked about who our spiritual father is. We talked about how he is either God the Father or Satan. Jesus told these Jews that they were not true sons of Abraham, that is, the spiritual sons of Abraham, and therefore they were not the sons of God, they were the sons of the devil. If they were the sons of God, they would recognize Jesus, they would love him, they would believe in him, and they would obey him. It's kind of a theme that we've been seeing throughout this chapter. But instead, they wanted to kill him, which is exactly what the devil wanted. So tonight we're going to finish up John 8, looking at verses 48 to 59, and I invite you to stand for the reading of the Word of God. John 8, verses 48 to 59 says, "The Jews answered him, 'Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?' Jesus answered, 'I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death.' The Jews said to him, 'Now we know you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?' Jesus answered, 'If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad.' So the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?' Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.' So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." The word of the Lord. You may be seated. Let me pray for us before we get into it tonight. Gracious Heavenly Father, I pray now that you would be with us. Father, that your Spirit would illuminate the Scriptures and give us understanding. Father, help me to remember everything that I prepared and just speak through me and use me in a mighty way tonight. I pray for those here tonight, Lord, that their ears and their hearts would be open to receive the truth of your gospel, that they would know your Son as their Lord and Savior. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Well, throughout John 8, we've seen Jesus make some pretty extreme claims, some pretty big claims. Verse 12, he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Verse 23, he says, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Verses 31 to 32, he says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And verse 42, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me." And like the Jews that we read about in this passage, we all have a question that we have to answer about Jesus. And the question that we have to answer about Jesus is, that is Jesus God's son? In C.S. Lewis's famous book, Mere Christianity, he says this: "I am trying here to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. That is, I am ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I do not accept his claim to be God. That is one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not have been a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of the man who says that he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else he is a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit on him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He has not left this open to us. He did not intend to." So we need to decide, who is Jesus? Is Jesus really who he says he is? Is he a liar? Is he a lunatic? Or is he the Son of God? The Jews that Jesus was talking to and proclaiming all these truths to obviously rejected him as Lord. Their rejection then led to them insulting the very one who made them. They said, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Now we have to understand that the Samaritans were hated by the Jews. They were looked down upon as half-breeds because they were children of Jews and Gentiles mixed. So to the Jews, they were considered half-Jews. So they were literally saying to the Lord, "You are not even a real Jew." It was the worst insult that they could possibly think of. And then they added to it and said, "He must have a demon." Now that's pretty low of these Jews, and they clearly were feeling the weight of what Jesus was saying, and they did not like it. But they didn't have a leg to stand on, and so it resulted in them throwing childlike insults to Jesus. Have you ever done that? Maybe you've gotten into a discussion or an argument with someone, maybe over something as foolish as politics. You're in that argument, you don't know what to say to defend your position, and so you just start insulting the person. Maybe you say something like, "Well, you're stupid for believing that," or "That's dumb." That's what's going on here. J.C. Ryle said, "To lose temper, to call names, is a common sign of defeat. Nicknames, insults, and violent languages are all favorable weapons of the devil." And that's what we see the Jews doing to Jesus. The Jews denied him as Lord, and they insulted him. But the reality is that they were insulting the very one who created them, and the very one who could save them. Jesus is telling them the truth, that they are sinners, that they need to repent, and they need to believe. And the fact of the matter is that the truth is offensive. And as we have been seeing throughout this whole chapter, those who are in darkness love darkness and they hate light because the light exposes their sins. It exposes us for who we really are. But just like Jesus, when we share the truth, we should not be surprised when we face rejection and insults for inviting people to repent and believe in Jesus. We need to remember that it is really Christ who they are ultimately rejecting. But look at how Jesus responds. See how Jesus truly is the Son of God. Jesus answered them, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge." So Jesus sets the record straight. He tells them the truth. He does not have a demon, nor does he seek his own glory. He seeks to honor the Father, and the Father seeks to glorify the Son. How many of us in here would do that? How many of us would not respond to an insult with another insult? But how amazing is it that Jesus, the Son of God, does not respond as a mere man would? A mere man would seek to defend himself. A mere man would seek to bring honor to his name. He would seek the approval of other men. But Jesus, being the eternal Lord, does not return insults. Rather, he tells them the truth. Someone who is controlled by the devil is a liar, but Christ told the truth. Someone who is prompted by the devil flatters men, is puffed up with pride, and seeks their own honor, but Christ sought the honor of the Father and not his own. A.W. Pink says, divinely calm, divinely dignified, divinely majestic was such an answer. Jesus then points them to the truth of who the Father is. He is the judge. In other words, their rejection of Christ will lead them to eternal judgment. And if you reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you also will be judged and condemned. Jesus' response to their insult is the truth. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Jesus could have just given up at that point and walked away. But instead, he invites them one more time to believe, even after they insulted him, even after they dishonored the Father, he still invites them to repent and believe. How patient is our Lord and Savior. Jesus is simply saying, if you believe in me, you will have eternal life. And I hope that you understand that Jesus isn't simply talking about that we won't face physical death. Of course we will face physical death. He's talking about second death, that is hell and eternal damnation. If we believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the only way to the Father, and we put our faith and trust in him alone, we will have eternal life, and we will not face judgment and damnation. That's what Jesus is offering us today. Jesus offers you to repent and believe. And what an amazing promise this is. To keep his word means to hide it in our hearts, to keep it in our memories, to let it govern over our daily lives. It is not simply those who profess to be Christians, but it is those who profess to be Christians and live it out in truth and in deed. But the Jews still, in their darkness, don't get it. They said, now we know you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus was not merely another Jew. He was not merely another prophet sent by God. The truth of the matter is that Jesus is greater than Abraham, and he is greater than the prophets, because he is the one who created Abraham and created the prophets. There's a book here that I would recommend for you guys to get and read. It's called Jesus on Every Page, 10 Simple Ways to Seek and Find Christ in the Old Testament. It's written by David Murray, and he says this: I am not quite sure what I used to think Christ was doing during the 4,000 years of Old Testament history. Was he just idling his time away while waiting for his incarnation? Or maybe vexing his heart as he watched even the best of sinners destroy themselves through ill-fated attempts to please God? Or perhaps he was merely spectating silently on the sidelines as his father worked away on his own for 4 millennia. None of that made sense. What did make sense was that the Son of God not only was busy in heaven during those 4,000 years, but he also frequently visited the earth and appeared to his people in different forms, primarily as the angel of the Lord and as the glory of the Lord. See, Jesus was active in the Old Testament. And he appeared to various people as the pre-incarnated Christ, as the angel of the Lord. The word angel simply means messenger. It really does not speak to the substance of the being. Rather, it speaks to the mission or the goal of the being to share the message of God. And throughout the Old Testament, a special angel appeared known as the angel of the Lord. And he is given divine titles, he performs divine functions, and he accepts divine worship. All things that would be blasphemy if he was not something more than an angelic being, but the Son of God. Let's go ahead and turn to Genesis 22, verses 9 through 18, because I want you to see Jesus appearing to Abraham. Genesis 22, verses 9 to 18. Who wants to read that for us? Okay, nice and loud for us.
When they came to the place in which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and laid wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. So the angels of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hands on or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, for me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket of his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." And it is said to this day, "On the moment of the Lord it shall be proved on Mount Lebanon." And the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice."
All right, so this whole story would have been blasphemous if the angel of the Lord was simply an angelic being. But what does he say? "That you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." He declares ownership. He speaks as if he were God. And how much more beautiful is this story that God not only provided a ram as an alternative to the sacrifice of Isaac, but the one who would eventually be the substitute for mankind was the very one who stopped Isaac from the sacrifice. Jesus has always been active, even in the Old Testament, as the eternal Son of God. So the Jews asked him, "Are you greater than Abraham?" The answer is yes, because the pre-incarnated Son of God had appeared to Abraham as the angel of the Lord. They then ask him, "Are you greater than the prophets?" And the answer again is yes, because the prophets pointed to Jesus. All the prophets, the entire book of the Old Testament, the entire Old Testament points forward to Jesus. Some of the writings more bluntly than others, and we don't have time to go through all of the different prophets and their writings, but I wanted to look at one very specific obvious passage that points to Jesus. Isaiah 53. Go ahead and turn to Isaiah 53. Who wants to read Isaiah 53 for us? Okay, nice and loud.
Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due, his grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as guilt offering, he will see his offering. He will see his offspring. He will prolong his days. And the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquity. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong. Because he poured out himself to death, he was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors.
Thank you. So here we have the suffering servant. And I don't know about you, but it's clearly a picture of Jesus. I don't know if you can see that or not. It says that he was despised and rejected by men. Are we not seeing in John 8 him being despised and rejected? It goes on to say that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Did Jesus Christ not go to the cross for our sins and die? Verse 11, out of anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteousness, and he shall bear their iniquities. Are we not declared righteous, and he declared accursed for us, for our sins? Isaiah, along with all the other prophets, point to Jesus. Jesus was involved in the Old Testament, and he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He is the eternal Savior, the eternal Son of God. I invite you to turn back to John chapter 8 and look with me at verse 54. Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God, but you have not known him. I know him. I would be a liar like you, but I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." Jesus is the eternal Savior. He not only knows the Father, but he was sent by the Father. He is not speaking only his words, but he is speaking the Father's words, and he's obedient to the Father. He does not have a demon. He is not a liar. He is God with us, Emmanuel. Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day." Abraham's hope was in Jesus. That's where he was. That's who he was saved through. Jesus Christ. His salvation came from Jesus. Abraham looked forward with joy to the day when this would all be fulfilled, when the substitute would come. Flip over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 19 says this: By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that was hit, that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Abraham trusted in the promises of God. By faith, he trusted that even if he was to carry through the act of sacrificing Isaac, that he would bring him back from the dead. Abraham received an amazing foreshadowing, pointing forward to the Savior's death and resurrection. And that is how Abraham saw Christ's day. It all comes down to faith. It was by faith that Abraham was saved. It was by faith that Sarah was saved. It was by faith that Isaac was saved. And it is by faith that you are saved. Both the Old and the New Testament point us to faith in Christ as the only way to eternal life. Rejection of Christ will result in eternal judgment and damnation. John 8:57 says, "So the Jews said to him, 'You are not 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?' Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.'" The Jews would have blatantly understood what Jesus was saying here. Jesus not only said that he existed before Abraham, but that he is God. Jesus boldly and unapologetically told them that he is God. He equated himself with God's I am statement to Moses back in the burning bush. And such a statement, if not true, was blasphemy and punishable by death, which is why the Jews picked up stones to kill him. They were so angry with what he was saying that they couldn't even consider if Jesus really was the Son of God or not. But if Jesus really is the I am, then that means that Jesus committed no blasphemy, that he was and is God. He is the second person of the Godhead, equal to the Father in every way. The Jews picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. They love their sin too much to hear the truth. They love their sin too much to see the light. They love their sin so much that they want it to destroy the only one who could save them. And Jesus hid himself from them. So who is Jesus? We cannot simply say that he is a good moral teacher or simply another prophet that God sent. He claimed to be God. And so you have to decide in your heart, who is Jesus? Is he a liar? Is he a lunatic? Or is he the Son of God? If he claims to be God and yet is not, he then is a madman or a lunatic. If he is neither a lunatic, if he is neither God nor a lunatic, then he has to be a liar, and he is deceiving the Jews and deceiving us. But if he is neither a liar nor a lunatic, then he has to be the Son of God. And I fully believe with all my heart that Jesus truly is the Son of God, that he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, that he is the only way to eternal life. And if you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you will be like these Jews and you will be left to face the judge. But if you believe, then you too can respond to this message in worship and awe. If Jesus really is the Son of God, then we should fall on our knees before him, surrendering our life to him, obeying his words and commands. There is no other way to God but through Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you've enjoyed this teaching. Please visit us at cedarcrest.church/students.